Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. So over the past 6 weeks, we've been talking about living more undistracted. We recognize that the start of the year is often the time when people seek to make positive change in their life, cultivate new habits for a more whole and abundant life. And even as we try to do all of those things, even as we try to do things differently, perhaps in 2024 than 2023, we still are faced with distractions of all kinds that pull us away from living the abundant life gifted to us in Jesus Christ. Distractions have this way of making shallow a life that is meant to be deep. And so we've explored how to live more undistracted when it comes to our purpose, our faith, our attitude, our relationships, our service. But it feels like there's this gigantic elephant in the room that we haven't specifically named yet. And that's why I wanted to devote a whole sermon to it. I'm talking, of course, about the elephant of distraction that is our smartphone. How do we live undistracted in a world of these? Let us pray. God, open our hearts and our minds to your word for us this day. We pray that it would take root there, that it would grow us, transform us, so that we might live for you undistracted and might bear fruit for your kingdom. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture readings this morning come from Psalms and also from the Gospel of Luke. First Psalm 115, verses 1 through 9. I invite you to listen for God's word. Not to us, Lord, not to us, no, but to your own name give glory because of your loyal love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, where's their God now? Our God is in heaven. He can do whatever he wants. Their idols are just silver and gold, things made by human hands. They have mouths, but they can't speak. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have nose, but they can't smell. They have hands, but they can't feel. They have feet, but they can't walk. They can't even make a noise in their throats. Let the people who made these idols and all who trust in them become just like them. But you, Israel, trust in the Lord. God is their help and shield. Then from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 43 through 49. Listen as Jesus speaks to us. A good tree doesn't produce bad fruit, nor does a bad tree produce good fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit. People don't gather figs from thorny plants, nor do they pick grapes from prickly bushes. A good person produces good from the good treasury of the inner self, while an evil person produces evil from the evil treasury of the inner self. The inner self overflows with words that are spoken. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me, hears my words, and puts them into practice. It's like a person building a house by digging deep and laying the foundation on bedrock. When the flood came, the rising water smashed against that house, but the water couldn't shake the house because it was well built. But those who don't put into practice what they hear are like a person who built a house without a foundation. The flood water smashed against it and collapsed it instantly. It was completely destroyed. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, let me just begin by saying I am not one of these like anti-technology or anti-smartphone people. These devices have revolutionized the way that we work and communicate and get information. They've changed our world in some wonderful wonderful ways. In today's hyper-connected world, they have become an integral part of our daily lives. And they can be and are harmful distractions. Both can be true at once. My wife and I were trying to remember a couple weeks ago what our very first cell phones were. Lauren remembers a flip phone. I remember my first phone was like this Nokia phone that wasn't a flip phone, that was literally like holding an office tape dispenser next to your face to talk. And I was so excited about it in high school. I remember my first iPod. Remember those? The one that Duke gave out to all incoming freshmen in 2004 with the cool little turning wheel that clicked, right? And then my first iPhone. Oh, I could sit on the chapel quad in divinity school and not just call someone, not just text someone, but I could watch highlights of the basketball game. I could go on social media and see what everybody was talking about and even do all of that at the same time if I wanted to. And most of us haven't looked back since. We've all been sucked in. We all have a smartphone. An almost entire parallel virtual universe in the palm of our hands or in our pockets or by our beds. And before we know it, this little parallel universe in the palm of our hands begins to rule our world. Smartphones offer this constant connectivity that makes it challenging to detach ourselves from the digital world, social media and emails and text messages and a whole host of other apps compete for our attention literally 24/7 at work, at home, at play. Our fear of missing out, together with the notifications, making sure that we don't miss out, compel us to check our devices frequently to stay updated and connected on the latest news and the latest trends and the latest social interactions. Digital distraction is practically embedded within this technology itself, right? App developers and tech companies adopt technologies like algorithms and notifications and gamifications to keep us glued to the screen, checking things and scrolling and spending more time on their platforms. It's like the children's story if you give a mouse a cookie. The mouse starts out going into the house just for a nice chocolate chip cookie, and then by the end of the book, he wants everything in the house. We get on our phones with a simple text message notification, and before we know it, 30 or 45 minutes later, we're still on our phones, scrolling on Instagram or reading that clickbait story. Never mind that we could be engaged with our God-given purposes, talking to our family or friends, praying or nurturing our relationship with Jesus, serving someone, enjoying the great, big, beautiful world that God created, material world around us. Of course, digital distractions have massive consequences, right? For our health, for our mental, emotional well-being, for our faith, for our relationships, and for our sense of purpose. It can disrupt healthy sleep patterns. It makes us more sedentary. It erodes concentration and focus. The constant shifting of our attention from one notification or app to the next fragments our cognitive processes, increasing stress, decreasing our presence in the real world. Have you ever had a moment when your phone was lying to the side while you were doing something else? Then how often did you glance over or pick up your phone, right? Did you ever wonder if you were missing an email or a text or a social media post? Was it hard to concentrate? Were you really present? And then when you finally picked up your phone again, you felt relieved like an addict with his fix. Experts tell us that incessant use of smartphones is tied to increased depression. It can make us have a negative attitude about ourselves because everything is sensationalized for clicks. The digital connection offered by smartphones can inoculate us from being able to develop strong and whole relationships with real people in front of us. When we're distracted by this device, other people around us can feel neglected and ignored. And so the quality time with the special people in our lives can be compromised by scrolling through social media or responding to that text or that email or work. In terms of our faith, digital devices can often make us think that faith can be automated too. Delivered to the palm of our hand with no intentionality and no effort whatsoever on our part. It's almost like we count on our phones more than God. It's almost like we're making these the foundation of our lives. The writer of Psalm 115 has a wake-up call for us. He's talking about idols and idolatry and says, those who make them will become like them and those who trust in them. In other words, we start to resemble what we revere. We become what we behold. We walk in the ways of what we worship. We start to resemble what we revere. We become what we behold. We walk in the ways of what we worship. What we spend our time beholding, or in this case, holding, shapes our hearts and our minds and our lives and molds us into the people that we are. In the days of Israel, idols were images constructed by people to represent a deity that were then worshipped. But God made human beings in God's image to worship God and reflect God and God alone, right? Not to us, but to your name be the glory, the psalmist says. And so the psalmist's point is that, like, even though these idols are not real, these idols had immense power over people. If we can't sit at the dinner table or on the sofa, have a conversation with family and friends, if we can't spend time with Jesus, if we can't step into our purpose or deal with our attitudes or emotions without reaching for our phones, they have become an idol. And the very fact that most of us feel like we cannot live our lives without our smartphones should cause us to wonder, this thing become an idol? Am I worshiping at the altar of my smartphone? What happens? Like, what happens when we spend so much time beholding the glowing screens of our phones? How are we changed? How are we changed? How are we conformed? Who or what am I reflecting and worshiping? God or something else? Am I starting to resemble my smartphone? Becoming less human? We start to resemble what we revere. We start to become like what we behold. Think about that for a second when it comes to our lives. Maybe we're less patient and attentive because our phones can go quickly from one thing to the next. Maybe we're more self-centered because our phones can create a personal world for us in which to live. Maybe we're coasting or disengaged in our faith or in a relationship with Jesus Christ because, well, smartphones can just automate everything. Maybe our civil discourse looks like the harmful rhetoric on social media. Maybe we're becoming less empathetic, less creative. Maybe we're becoming less careful with our words. Maybe we're becoming more consumed with multitasking rather than purpose. Maybe instead of becoming closer to God, we're trying to become more like God's, lowercase g, with infinite possibility in our hands. We start to resemble what we revere. So what's the fix? How do we overcome the digital distraction? Three things came to mind as I was wrestling with this week. Ironically enough, in the midst of a mission trip to Costa Rica where I spent less time on my phone this week than I have in years. First, we commit to worshiping God. If we become what we behold, we need to make sure that we are beholding God more than holding our smartphones. Are we engaged in the practice of worship? Where we orient all of who we are to all of who God is, giving God all the honor and the glory and the praise? Are we regularly putting ourselves in places to encounter the living God and be focused on God's glory and not our own? Where our hearts, our minds, our voices, our bodies are all demonstrating not to us, but to you be the glory, O God. Worship is an all-immersive experience of God. We immerse ourselves in our phones. We should be immersing ourselves all the more in God's glorious presence in worship. And so whether it's through daily devotions or weekly worship when we gather together in this place, we have to prioritize the practice of worship so that we reflect and glorify God and not our phones. We have to be intentional so that we become more like Jesus and not more like an app. Second, we need to reclaim an incarnational posture. Now that sounds super complicated and theological, but it's really simple. God created the world and delights in what God made, and God moves toward what God made. God loves material reality. God blessed material creation and called it good. God so loved the world, the physical material world, so much that God became part of this material creation. Part of the material world in the person of Jesus Christ, the incarnation, right? God put on flesh. Jesus loved and engaged with and interacted with material things. The incarnation is tangible proof that God loves tangible reality. We need to reclaim a love for the world that God loves too, the material world. We need to have a posture of delight and wonder and love and care for all that is material, just like God in Jesus Christ does. Sometimes we get really bad about making faith a matter of things that are only spiritual and not the existence that we have right here and right now and everything that God made. Real people, real things, nature, physical reality. This was so apparent to me this past week in Costa Rica. Whether it was the beauty of the landscape, the mountains, the sea, the wonder and the newness of people different from me, speaking a different language, worshiping in different ways. The sights, the smells, the sounds, the worship, the work of building. It made me appreciate and savor the gift of the material, the real, the grounded all around me. And you know what? My phone began to lose its luster. We are bodies. We live in a material world. It's the only way we get to live and exist. And if we can discover or rediscover that love, the world around us like God has, if we have can have a posture of going deeper and leaning in more with the real people and the real places, maybe the digital world will lose some of its allure and some of its power in our lives, and we'll be less distracted by our phones because we'll be so captivated by the people and the world that God created in love. Finally, we have to treat our phones as a tool and not a foundation. A tool, not a foundation. Jesus told a parable about two people, one who dug deep and built a foundation of the house on solid rock. And the other who built a foundation on sand. The first one was the one who heard Jesus' words and put them into practice. The second heard Jesus' words and did not act on them. Of course, when the waters rose, the house that was built on the firm foundation of rock stood while the others collapsed. Our phones are not a solid foundation for our lives. They are sand, not rocks. They will not hold us up when life comes at us like chaos waters. However, they can be tools to help us build our lives on Jesus and help others connect to Jesus. The trick is not to confuse the tool with the foundation. In Costa Rica this past week, we were constructing a parsonage for a new church there, a new Methodist church there. We used tools to mix concrete, pour concrete, compact it around the concrete poles, raise and lower concrete poles, wall panels, fix them into place, shovels, wheelbarrows, poles, ropes, pulleys. Were not the foundation of the parsonage. They were tools. And while we used them a lot, we did not take them back to the center and into bed with us. Every day I left those super helpful tools at the work site, and my life did not come to an end because it was just a tool. We did not count on them to make our lives infinitely better. We didn't look to them for meaning and purpose. We untethered from them. Our smartphones can be tools. We can text and check in on people or invite them to church or give a like or a smiley for the new post of a friend who just had a baby. We can let someone know we're praying for them. We can use an app to help us read the Bible or to pray, have a discipline of prayer. All of those things are tools to help us be anchored to Jesus. And then we untether. We take a break. We put our phones to the side or away because they are tools. They're just tools, not a foundation. Tools are dispensable. A foundation is not. So because our phone is a tool and not a foundation, we put the tool down, away from us, in a different place from time to time, and we still live life. So for about 15 years, something like this has been within my reach. There to wake me up in the morning, there to play music for me, there to watch videos, there to keep my calendar, there to send and receive emails and texts, there to capture my life in photo and in videos, there to be my portal to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok. I can keep going, right? And I confess, over that same period, this device has been the distraction elephant in the room. And it has been the catalyst for all other distractions, pulling me from purpose, from faith, from relationships, attitude, from service. What about you?